love you.
This is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
How is this?
This is for Brody.
What? Scott! We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
So we're live. Oh, are we?
Live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast that is hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
Well, I was one of the hosts, Paul, but after having a conversation with Sammy tonight, I'm just going to chuck it in. Fuck it. No, she dead said she didn't like Daredevil, so I'm done. I'm done.
Oh my god! This is how it ends, because we can't see eye to eye on one thing.
And we have a Marvel podcast to keep up, Sammy.
I said maybe I'll change my mind. We'll see.
You better.
Sally did. You better.
There's going to be veiled threats all the way through this episode. But yes. I am the other host, and we are joined by Nerdy Jesus, the sexy nerd himself, the guy with the beard that I want, the hair, the everything. He hosts not just one, but two amazing podcasts. One that is the Countdown to Doomsday, that is going from strength to strength, who the views are going through the window. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the next episode of Guardians of the Galaxy, and the destruction that he starts out on Twitch. I need to say Twitter for some reason. On Twitch, where he does the Rumble Cast with Sliding Sloop and Adam. We've got the Jake.
Hello, that was an amazing intro. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Happy to be here talking about fun stuff, fun movies.
Fun stuff, fun things.
Are we gonna do it? Are we gonna do the click?
You ready?
Da 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 da.
See, I wonder if it actually sounds, because noise cancelling is a bitch.
Probably just like silence.
Yeah. We tried.
So we've got Cousin It, Fester, and we'll say
Pudsley. I'll say it. It's Pudsley. I am Pudsley.
Yeah, I am most like Cousin It. Most like Cousin It in the Nerdy Up North yearbook.
I couldn't be bothered to go and pull the Wednesday dress out, which I wore when we did the Wednesday review. So I was like, hey, I'll go as Pudsley. Let's do this. I'm happy with that. Yes. Kid's awesome.
Isn't the thing? And if you look at the picture, something wrong with
Pudsley. Yes, I just don't. When I said it, I looked down and went, oh. Okay.
Can you imagine if Christopher Lloyd did meet Chris? I would love that.
That's the impression. That's the face he pulls. So before we get started and cause... before we cause more chaos, yeah. Sammy, would you do the disclaimer?
I was most certainly will.
Yeah.
So everything discussed in today's episode is our opinion. I can't look at it. Opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook page. You can join us on the Discord or the comments section, where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behavior out of a nerdism.
You're still wrong.
if you'll notice, Paul never agreed to the disclaimer. He just accepted it.
To be fair, though, he's like, fine.
I'm the one that champions the disclaimer the most. I'm the one that when Sammy's like, oh, should I do the disclaimer? You do the disclaimer, everything. Even when you're talking to Neil Marshall, it's our mission statement. He needs to know what we're doing.
I remember that. I ran that past Paul when we were doing the Neil Marshall, and I was just, shut up. Do I do it? Like, is that just weird? And he was like, no, you do it. Like, you do it on every episode. You do it. It's our mission statement. So yeah, he actually does. He does champion it.
See? But Sammy's still wrong.
Live by it.
It's called being a cult leader. You do what I say and not what I do.
Yeah.
Look at that face.
You've never used your cult status on me before. I can't believe it's Daredevil that is making you do that.
Darren saying that Charlie Cox should have been recast. I'm sorry. That is blasphemy, and that has hurt me to my core.
I said I'll give it another watch.
She's just a big Ben Affleck fan.
Maybe that's it.
Because he was the bomb in Phantoms.
Exactly. How can we overlook that?
Remember that part where you lit a flaming DD on the floor for the police to find? Like a superhero would.
Is that Kevin Smith in that movie?
I'm talking about Daredevil. Ben Affleck Daredevil.
No, I was saying, and Batman doesn't do that. Like, he did it. That's how cool he is. Batman Shut up.
He did it in Dark Knight Rises on the bridge.
And you know what? A DD, it could be a B for a certain angle.
Yeah. So, yes, we're talking about a family friendly movie that was wholesome from the 1991.
In true Nutty Up North fashion, I have the taglines. Mm-hmm. This one's. I don't get this.
Can I guess one?
if you like.
They're creepy and they're kooky.
It's creepy, kooky, spooky, ooky. They all have a full stop at the end of them.
I think what they did was with that, did they have like individual posters with each of them on them?
The faces.
The might of, and then each one had one. The next one is, this actually relates to me, weird is relative.
All right.
And this one, I don't know where this is coming from, because this is like a whole new incarnation of the Addams Family. This is very different from the Addams Family that we saw in the television series, which, by the way, only had two series. Did you know that? I didn't realize that. It's called, the next tagline is, it's not the same old thing.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting, again, sorry to go off tangent, just because it's just jogged a memory there, because everyone's got memories of these shows, and like I think it was when I did the Top Grumps with the Frank Drebin. People always remember these shows and say, "Oh, the show was brilliant." It's like there was only five episodes of Police Squad. Fawlty Towers only had five episodes. It's crazy. People always think there's like massive loads and loads of content with these like things that Labour did, but there's not that much stuff about it.
Because not at all.
Because when we were all like growing up, like everyone was talking about syndication a lot, and it's like if you get 100 episodes, the TV company will buy it, and then they'll do reruns and they'll get residuals. But that wasn't a thing back then. They were like, "Hey, look, we're gonna do a film about goths who live in a house," and then someone else was like, "Well, I'm going to do one where the dad is a Frankenstein."
Yes.
It was just the Wild West.
I didn't realize that in the original series. Now, bearing in mind, I have seen them, but the Munsters kind of top trumped the Addams Family for me, just on the older version. But I love Caroline Jones as Morticia. She was perfect. But I didn't realize that they were kind of recluses. They didn't work. They stayed at home all day. Yeah. They had riches beyond our wildest dreams, and they laughed at very large tax bills. And it was incredible. And I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but it was very basic storytelling from them. It wasn't a great deal. Everything was just kept in the house.
Yeah.
And they didn't kind of like, because with Lily, you know, a lot of things with Lily Munster and Morticia, where Lily would go off and try and get work. Morticia had she didn't want to do that.
No.
It was just weird. I was watching this retrospect last night of the difference between the two, and then the difference in the movie to the TV show. And I didn't realize there was such a vast disconnect between the two.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting.
No,
this
definitely
was my first Addams Family for sure. I've never seen a second of the TV show, I don't think.
No.
No, I think the Addams Family used to be either like, again, my memory's hazy because, like I say, it was a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
It was either on BBC Two on, like, after school, like, around about 6 o'clock. You know, when you used to do, like, the CBB stuff that came later.
Yeah.
You used to have, like, children's shows that used to go into, like, say, the Demon Headmaster and stuff like that. Then Newsrounds kicked in. Then it moved on to BBC Two from about 6 o'clock. They had a few alternative or like strangers shows that, like, say, the Addams Family was either on, or that's just my memory, just totally gone, or it was basically on a Sunday on Channel 4 when they had like old TV shows like The Land of the Giants and The Addams Family. Again, I don't know which order, because my memory doesn't work that well these days.
And I think, I think, like, when I was growing up, Channel 2 was like The Simpsons would come on after that stuff. Mm-hmm. I definitely saw loads of episodes of The Munsters, though. Which channel I was watching it on, I have no idea. That's one thing I can't remember from my childhood, like what channel anything was on.
Yeah, same here. I used to watch a lot of The Munsters. I Dream a Genie was a huge one as well. I used to watch it all the time.
I liked Bewitched as well.
Bewitched, like, I have, and I love the fact that, you know, there was a witch called Samantha, and I was like, oh my god, that's my name.
They just all occupy the same sort of headspace for me, where it's like someone would walk through the door and then, like, there'd be like a laugh track.
the differences I was talking, that I was looking at as well, was the relationships between everyone. Mm-hmm. So Grandma in the TV show is Gomez's mother. Mm-hmm. In the show, she's more in the movie, she's Morticia's.
Right.
And Fester is Morticia's
brother.
Yeah, Morticia's mother's uncle.
Right.
I was a mother's uncle.
Yeah. So he's a grunkle.
Now he is in the movie, it's Gomez's brother. So there is little differences.
Alternate universe, multiverse of Adams.
Multiverse.
There was a comic as well, wasn't there?
Were they a comic strip kind of deal?
They were. It was a very, from what I was watching yesterday, it was a very basic comic of, you know, the Charles Adams, you know.
Well, you know, you know that animated movie that came out not too long ago?
Yeah.
I think that's what the comic strip looked like.
Right.
Like back then.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the big oval face and, like,
and
you know,
the very gauntness. It was Charles Adams, and it was just like in a newspaper, very small, very you know, it wasn't huge or anything, and someone just by chance went, oh my god, look at that, and let's do this. Another difference from the TV to the movie, Wednesday does not play a part at all in the TV show. She's barely in it.
She's famous for doing the Wednesday dance type
thing. Yeah, and that's been turned into a GIF all around the world. But she's barely in the actual show. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, the interview I watched with Angelica Houston, she went, this is a Wednesday movie. This is her movie. Yeah.
The second Christina, one is. Yeah. Not Christina this one, Ricci. Though, really.
No, she says this is Christine. She says watching Christina Ricci during this movie was breathtaking. Like, this girl at her age, she creates everything that you see of Wednesday, from down to the sleeping position of the arms. It's and the she did quite a bit of improv as well. You know, the whole knife scene where it's like, are you going to take that? Is that for your brother? And she swaps it out. Them two, like, kind of improv that because they were figuring each other's characters out.
Yeah.
She said it was like, she felt like she was watching an adult at work, and she had to keep reminding herself it's a child.
Mm-hmm. So that's why she got given a much bigger
part. Uh-huh.
In the second one. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, and. It's interesting, Jake saying this was his first, like, iteration of the Addams Family. I remember when this came out, this was kind of like the start, like, if again my memory serves me right, of the big blockbuster summer hits that started to roll out in the 90s. Because like when we, like, growing up now, the blockbusters, the summer blockbusters are owned by Marvel. Like, Marvel's are the big blockbuster movies that we're kind of waiting for back then.
Yeah.
There used to be like films like The Addams Family when it first came out. Then it was like Jurassic Park, Men in Black, like big, like, say, kind of like summer tentpole movies where everyone had to go and see. And this was kind of like the first one. And I remember the advertisement campaign being absolutely huge as well.
Like, it's really easy to put a trailer together for this because there's so many, like, you know, visually iconic moments like that, like, you could just stick in a trailer easy.
I remember when it came out, like, everyone had to go and see the Addams Family. It was on like every type of, like, before your school, like, you used to have like shows like The Big Breakfast and stuff like that, like interviews with the stars. Like, they had clips of the movie, they had the Addams Family rap as well. That was like the end of the thing.
Can someone do me a favor? Because today I have been sitting thinking about the Addams Family rap, and every time it comes up into my head, the Turtles one's there.
Yeah.
So I can't get past the Turtles one to get into the Addams Family one.
But, like, exactly like the Turtles, the first movie has a slightly more serious rap, and then the second one, they're like, fuck it. Oop, Adam's Family. There it is. And then in this one, it's like he's very serious about how he's describing the Adam's Family and how they do what they want to do. Act how they want to act.
What amazes me now, and I know we've had, a version of it now on Netflix, shall we say, this movie isn't a Tim Burton movie blows my mind.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But I feel like it's sort of in that same, it's like, oh, they saw what he was doing and they were like, you know, there's room for more than one person to have a go at this type of thing.
Yeah.
But I love how it's like a more realistic style, even though, like, you know, there's very like silly moments, but like the set dressing is more realistic. Like it feels like you said, like earlier, sorry to steal your tidbit, but that they built all of this and the actors were really there and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they built it from the ground up. This is possibly why they went over budget and the studio was struggling, and the studio was struggling at the time, and they were the highest commodity because of the money that was in the movie, and they were easy to sell, and they got moved off to another studio, and the director was a guy called Barry Sonnenfeld. And if you are paying close attention and you know what Barry actually looks like, then when Gomez has got the trains and the guys in the train, that's Barry.
That was a weird scene. That kind of
yeah.
That's telling me.
If you're gonna put yourself in a cameo, you do it Hitchcock style, like, you know, just, you know, in the background, walking across the street. You don't put yourself in a train set where you would never actually be.
But this is how crazy this movie is. Like, there's so many weird and wonderful things. That was the only point I second guessed. Like, is this out like too far, when they've got the toy train set and you've got Gomez looking in it, and it's got like an actual person sitting in it. I was like, how in the realms of reality can we explain that? But again, they went for
they've got monsters. They've got monsters in the family, you know, like cousin it. That's not a human in there, surely.
I often wonder what is behind all that hair, and then I'm like, need to know?
It's Jake.
That's
it.
Okay.
It's Jake. Well,
but then they have a baby in the second one. It's got the hair already, so you don't even get to see.
But this movie, like Jake said, was it everything's practical. The house was built, the sets were built, like everything is just built from the ground up. Even to like Thing as well.
Oh, come on, to spend a moment talking about Thing. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I love when you can tell he's just a hand through a table. It's good.
Yeah.
It's great, and though. It's fine.
The thing is, though, he has these, the actor has these beautiful long hands, like beautiful long fingers, and that's half the reason they picked him. Uh-huh. But he's actually wearing, for the majority of it, a prosthetic hand, because he needs to be able to, you know, that it has to be in a certain position for a long period of time. So the easiest thing for them to do was to put it in a prosthetic so his actual hand could rest.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like supported. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Her, but that's him.
I love the part where he's like trying to give him a message and he's like throwing, he's like knocking the cereal everywhere and stuff.
It's like,
that.
I hate when you stutter.
but I'm sure they use the same effects in Wednesday.
They did. I think it works so well, and
it does.
Again, with CGI, like, I know it's got its place, as we talked about the last episode in Death Becomes Her. There's you're not going to put a hole in Goldie Hawn's belly without CGI, or Lee did basically the other with the hole of Lee. But
wasn't real.
Oh, Lee's dead. It's fine. But how well it worked, and the fun element. The only, as you said, you can tell they must have needed to give him rest, because imagine walking around, having your hand on the floor, running around, like even doing take after take. Wow, you would build finger muscles on your finger muscles type thing.
Yeah.
And I think like it's good they use practical. Like, I know they didn't really have CGI at the time, but like I think a CGI thing would be a bit too like scary, because movements would be more like an alien, face hugger type of thing.
Yeah, and because they didn't do it, this movie is like timeless. Like, it is it's classic, because it doesn't have that jankiness of what CGI would have been like back in 1991.
It looks great in HD, like Like, mm-hmm. I've just got, like,
beautiful.
I've only got like the Amazon copy, but like, you know, it upscales really nice. Yeah. You can't really tell it's old.
No, I think this was still filmed in like actual film rather than digital. So when it comes to film, it always upscales better than it does with digital. Because when you film in digital, the highest resolution you can get is what you recorded.
What you filmed in.
Yeah. When it's film, you can upscale that. Like, you can even upscale it to 8K. That's why a lot of the old movies now, when they're upscaling it, looks better than films that were made in the late 90s, early 2000s.
And that's why that explains... TV shows look nice and other ones are fuzzy.
That completely explains the Maltese Falcon then. Because what I watched looked like it was done yesterday. Like, it was so crisp and so clear. So that explains it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the more you know.
I have got some knowledge. But
you know
it's
what
not useless like mine.
One of my new useless tidbits that I got from this movie is going to be that Adam's Family is technically a Christmas movie because it starts at Christmas.
Yes.
And by my rules, that lumps it in with Jumanji for being a secret stealth Christmas movie.
Is this part of, and I think you made a joke as well, is this part of the Marvel Universe as well because it had people dressed as Captain America and Spider-Man?
Yeah.
So this is part of the canon as well, so we'll add this
because in the Marvel Universe, kids do dress up as the characters.
Well, there's monsters in there, so there's...
It's Charles Adams' illustrations. The little monsters that you can see running around trick-or-treaters is all of his illustrations being kind of brought to life.
Oh, that's cool. Fun, like background stuff, yeah.
But let's spend a few moments talking about the cast. Because this movie has no right to have the kind of cast that it got. Like, from Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester. Like, I know being a huge Back to the Future fan and being a huge fan of Christopher Lloyd, the transformation from Doc Brown to Uncle Fester is unbelievable. I know he's bulked up a little bit for Fester, but you cannot see the same two characters.
I don't think I did as a kid. I kid I was just totally tricked. Just thought it was a different guy.
I wouldn't have even said that was Doc, like Doc Brown. I couldn't say that I could see that. The storyline of Fester was, because obviously that's the main focal point of the movie is the identity of Fester. And initially they were going to do it where Gordon was... he wasn't Fester.
Right.
Yeah.
In the end, it was going to reveal that he actually wasn't Fester and he was, but they kind of accepted him anyway.
But he wants to live with them anyway.
Yeah, but it was Christina. So the whole cast, when they read it, got together and was like, we don't like this. We need him to be Fester. If we could ever continue this on, we need him to actually be Fester. And do you know who they nominated to go and tell the director that they didn't like it? Who were Christina Rich? Christina Ritchie pleaded with Scott Rudin and Barry Sonnenfeld to reshoot things to make it to where Christopher Lloyd was an actual Fester. And you know the only person who didn't give a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Lloyd. Didn't care.
Didn't care
in the slightest.
I was thinking about it because they do sort of just throw it in right at the end when they're just like sitting around, like it does the 7 months later thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of like... Oh, you know, like, what happened to you in the Bermuda Triangle or whatever? You know, like, they kind of like chuck it in. So, like, yeah, that sounds about right. That wasn't totally planned.
So, the only thing that, again, because as you said, that makes more sense to me now because watching it back, I was like, well, why is he grown hair? Because Fester never grew hair. Did he go up the Bermuda Channel and become hair follicle again?
Did he always shave his head? Like,
yeah. One of my favorite lines from Fester is when he's wanting to try and get away from Gomez and get, and he's like, I have to go. I have important work to do. The Bermuda Triangle. He's trying to like figure out as he goes along.
There's so many like good, silly, like little like lines that you can tell that they put a lot of work into, even though it's just a silly like throwaway joke. Like, but yeah, it's just his performance. Like, one of my favorite parts is when he sees them doing the Shakespeare and he's like, that's all wrong. Like, he's like, haven't you ever like stabbed anyone before?
You gotta go for the jugular. But yeah, like that was just inspired because if you look at, like, as you said, Christopher Lloyd, he doesn't scream Uncle Fester
He was always like family friendly or professor, wasn't he? Like, yeah. You know,
he feels very small in this. Like, and I know Fester kind of like has the you know, the image of being a smaller person, but for me, Christopher Lloyd is tall, stuck brown, like he's tall, he's in charge, he's large, but he's kind of like swallowed down in like the suits and that he wears.
Yeah, I think they get the weird because they kind of lose his neck. Because if you look at everything they do, everything's kind of like this.
Yeah.
So it automatically brings it down.
I guess like Festa's a bit like a combination between like a regular guy and like a hunchback, like an Igor type of person.
Yeah.
They actually resist doing the light bulb joke in this, don't they?
Get it at the end. At the end, they've done the painting.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Okay. I was thinking, like, you know, the usually that's like your go-to on Fester is like, oh, he gets electrocuted and he can light up a light bulb.
they waited to the end to give us it when they revealed that he was Uncle Fester. but there's, as I said, like the whole cast, not just Christopher Lloyd, like Julia, Raul Julia.
Yes.
Raul Julia. Oh my goodness!
We saw a performance in Street Fighter where he at the scenes and was so over dramatic. Jesus Christ! Like Gomez Adams, I've never seen over acting facial expressions to excitement to within, and everything was just portrayed. If he tried to do this straight and try and do it normal, wouldn't have worked. It would have been amazing. It was just the fact that he went balls to the wall and went as silly as he did. It become such a masterpiece. And then you got the kind of like the change up when he's kind of lost everything and he's like, even his voice and everything, just mannerisms completely changed.
When he keeps
changed.
On ringing, who is it? Sally
Jesse Raphael.
To find out where the cult is.
Just like, please stop calling.
We can't tell you where they are.
he is absolutely fantastic in this. And when I was watching the behind the scenes, he credits a lot of his performance to Angelica Houston.
Right.
Because to him, that's the only person he had to perform to.
Right.
It's a lot of them alone, isn't there, really? Uh-huh. Like when you think about it, yeah.
And just her and the beauty that is just her.
But that, this is the craziest, because I went from being absolutely terrified of Angelica Houston from The Witches.
Get that.
to watching this and going,
I'm so confused.
I'm confused. As a kid, I'm like, I'm feeling things I don't understand.
why does he want to get tortured? I don't get it.
And why do I want her to torture me?
I was telling these before we came on that when I was watching the behind the scenes, I have never been more unsettled than seeing Angelica Houston smile for the first time in my life. Everything I have seen that woman do has been deadpan serious to where she never smiles, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, she's got teeth. Like
she does smirk a lot in Adam's Family.
Mouth does not open. And I love the decision that they made with Morticia, that anytime you are looking at her, she has this light going right across her
it's
eyes.
Very vampire style.
Love that decision. That
it's
was
not
so
just
good.
A light, it's the Bela Lugosi Dracula light. Like, that's what they did for him. I'm schooling the monsters.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, I think this is the film that started my lifelong obsession and love of goth girls as well. So
when you were saying like, oh, like they had the posters everywhere, like marketing was crazy, and like talking about the old television show, like whose idea was it to make the Addams Family sexy? Like it works, but like it's just an odd idea. But
I think Morticia's always been just like the femme fatale, beautiful.
Hey, but do you know how many people have based the characters off her? Yeah, Vampira, Elvira, they all—it all comes back to Morticia Addams. So there's something in it.
How many couples costumes did this spawn?
Oh Jesus!
Yeah.
Even though no one's as good as these two, are
I do prefer Morticia's dress in the movie than I did the TV show. They're both exactly very the same fitting. Arms, chest, but in Caroline Jones's dress, she has these like octopus tentacles coming out of her dress, you know, like what you would see in the cartoon drawing.
Yeah.
Whereas Morticia is just, it's sleek, it's elegant.
Yeah. She just glides around in this movie.
She floats.
Really.
That woman floats.
Like, when you think about it, there's not a lot of shots of her doing much. She just sort of like appears in scenes or she's like already there. Like she doesn't move a lot.
And she is, and she's everything. And she's just got it's the face. It's just that perfect face that Angelica Houston has. Oh, I love that woman so much.
I just
much.
Love all the weird moments when she's like talking to like quote normal people, like the doctor and stuff. When just like, he's coughing up blood, and she's like, he coughs up blood. Well, not like he used to, and stuff like that. Just all the weird things. Like no one can like have a conversation with them.
No,
like
because she will. She weird's nothing to her. Like a funny story that the director told about the worst scene he filmed. And it involves Morticia. He said he absolutely hated this. Hated the person he had to be in order to get the shot. Mm-hmm. It's where she's reading the story to the children.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
These children were mesmerized by her.
Yeah.
So do you know when they all cry at the end? Mm-hmm. Do you know what he had to do? Oh, he told them they were all getting a vaccination after, when it was really going to hurt. And they all and they all burst into tears. And that's how he got his shot. And he went, I hate the person I was because I had to tell them children that they were going to get a vaccination that would really hurt them. And they would end up being in pain and crying. And yeah, because they were mesmerized by her. They weren't getting what they wanted out of them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She was doing that good of a job reading them a story.
It could have worked with the mesmerizing thing. Cause that's a very witch-like thing to sort of pull off. I love that. Like, I've seen that scene like used in other people's clips and stuff, because it's just the perfect like the worst things happened and all the children are crying.
And then we'll go on to like the kind of the kids actors as well, like as we mentioned, Christine Ricci and Jimmy Workman, who played Pudsley as well. Normally kids in movies, let's be honest, are the things that is the downfall and the things that kind of like takes you out, because child actors, I'll be honest, most of them are shit. Most of them are just a little bit annoying. But these had a little bit of more to them, like especially Pugsley. I know Christy Ricci was unbelievable.
She's above and beyond. Above and beyond. Sure.
But Pugsley had a little bit of like innocent charm, and it kind of like, you kind of felt in, it kind of like, oh, bless him.
That's why I wanted to be him tonight.
Like, you're right, though. He doesn't like flub any of his lines or anything. Like,
he's a professional.
Or say anything in a weird like sentence, like, and then they would just leave it in because they couldn't get a better take.
He comes from stock where this is normal life for him. Yeah. He comes from child actors. His two of his sisters are both child actors, now gone on to be adult actors. There's Shona, Workman. So Shona Workman and Ariel.
I think I was being doing a bit of disservice by putting Chris's face on, so I'll take Chris's face off.
There. Oh, there he is. His older sister is Ariel Winter, who is the sister in Modern Family.
Okay.
So when he actually was with her for it might have been Shona, because Shona's a bit older, and Ariel's a bit younger. And they were in an audition. He was in an audition with her. He just had to hang out there because had a very bad relationship with her mom. And the director come up and went, "What are you doing here?" And he went, "Oh, I'm just here with my sister. She's having an audition." He went, "Come with me. I want you to read this line." And that's how he got the job with Pudsley.
Okay.
Because I know Jake's already mentioned it, but the actual when they're in the play, the kids and the doing Shakespeare and being pirates and sword fighting. That scene is unbelievably well done. Like, I couldn't imagine adults doing that as good.
No, and it's the deadpan reaction of the audience where the blood's just spilling all over them, and they're just like, sat there. Yeah. Just, what do we do?
And his arm just falling off. He just doesn't move at all.
And it's like the brutality of it as well. Like, again, I know we've done these podcasts for so long. Yeah. You do monsters. And we've talked about like the effects it has on people. Like if you talk about like the guy, the Exorcist, and the effects it had it on, what's her name now? I can't remember. Now she played Regan.
Linda Blair.
Like, and stuff like that. When you put in like a situation, it will have an effect. Yeah. But it's kind of like, hopefully, again, I know Christy Ricci looks like she's turned out a well-adjusted adult and been very successful career. But when you watch this scene now, it is quite shocking when you're seeing Wednesday Adams take a shot in the neck and seeing blood spurting out and then fall on the floor. Her face is going pale because of the blood loss. Because it's that well done.
I think like, when it's a comedy shoot, though, I think everyone's like...
We're okay.
In a better headspace about it. But I feel like some horror directors were going a bit too far on like...
It would have been terrible if it was in the hands of a horror director. It would have been even more brutal. I think their child like falling about and fumbling kind of really helps the scene to make it. Yes, we're not going to focus on all the fact that all this blood is like spilling out of them. What we're going to focus on the fact is that it's going on to the adults.
Oh yeah,
and they don't know how to react to it.
Yeah. But I love how proud like Gomez and Morticia and Fester are though. Like
it's such a moment.
It's the thing though, isn't it, that people always like I think forget about Adam's family. It's like, yeah, like they're a bunch of like freaks and they do weird stuff, like, you know, go digging graves and like smashing each other in the head. But they all love each other at the end of the day. Like,
yeah, massively. I actually have a link to this episode to Monsters episode.
All right.
Cool.
And it all relates down to Grandmama.
Grandma.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was she recast in the sequel? Or
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can double check, but I'm sure that's not the same actress. Right. They look very
that photo
different.
Looks weird as hell. And I'm probably thinking of the second one.
The makeup because the behind the scenes it showed you them all in like their makeup and everyone looked super. She looked. It didn't look right. Uh-huh. Something looked a bit disjointed, but yeah, my link is that the actress who played her, Judith Malian, really sorry if I'm saying that wrong, her husband was Julian Beck.
All right.
And Julian Beck is the weird guy from Poltergeist who died, and he will be in my episode on Monday.
Oh, man.
There's my connection.
Tedious links.
So, yes, there we go.
The only other one to mention, I guess, is Lurch. Who's the giant from Twin Peaks. He's also the alien in Men in Black.
He is.
That gets killed by Vincent D'Onofrio, Kingpin.
Dr. Sleep as well as...
He's the big
he actually came back, I believe, for Twin Peaks The Return.
I want to say yes, because I've been saying it constantly
with us. I think he might have
I thought the same thing last night
and I went to go
and, yeah and I went to go and check and no he's still very much alive.
He's such a legend, but he's not the kind of guy. Because I don't think English is his first language. He's not the kind of guy who ever would get like proper starring roles, but the look of him is so like perfect for film that he just gets cast like in loads of stuff, and you just like a constant in our lives.
Oh, absolutely. His credits are Witches of Eastwick, Star Trek The Next Generation, Adam's Family, Adam's Family Reunion, David Lynch's Twin Peaks The Return, Stephen King's The Shining. Sequel, sorry, Dr. Sleep. I'm just trying to find out about Grandma.
Yeah, I mean, she's nothing special, I guess, in this movie. She has a bit more to do in the second one because they're trying to like fix the baby and stuff like that.
There's talking about the grandma though. There's a joke in this because there's loads of little jokes that's just absolutely brilliantly done.
Yeah.
And I was in King's Laughing, and I actually put a note on a thing to remember it as well. When they were doing like a family recipe cooking, and she had like a cookbook in one side of it, and she had Grey's Anatomy on the other.
No!
I was like, yes! Because they make jokes about cannibalism all the way through this as well. Like,
who's put the hand in? It's like Fester and Pugsley like messing about. That's so
it's
cool.
When she puts the plates down and Fester like looks at it and Morticia gives it this like very French elegant like name and she just goes, start with the eyes first.
What do you think about the whole like weird, because they do this a couple of times where it's like Fester gets like taken out of the family or something. I mean, it's like a good mystery. They seem to like to have a mystery for them to solve, don't they? Yes, it's a bit of a weird idea to go for our introduction to like the Addams Family, to be like, oh, here's a switcheroo. Is it Fester? Is it not? Also, here's his evil mother, like Mother Fratelli. And now she's a German doctor.
She
like...
makes the Fratelli's mom look almost normal.
Yeah. Do you know what Pindisch do you know what Pindisch Schaus or whatever she was called means in German?
No.
It just means nut house if you translate it like literally.
Oh my goodness.
So you're learning with nerds now. That's the thing.
We've learned a lot tonight. Grandmama, of course it was. I'll kick myself because the minute I saw it, I knew exactly who played Grandmama in the second one. It's Carol Kane.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought that was the change.
Yeah.
Jake's just said a very interesting thing before. It's like the storyline for this was so convoluted and complicated at times, especially for like a family
with
movie
the tax
type
and everything, yeah. And like the family money and like new business is next quarter or something.
Down to the brass tacks of it, and like say the simple aspect of the plot, it is just basically like say the bad guys trying to rob like the weirdos out of the money and out of the house. But the way they went about it, it's like, oh, Fester disappeared 25 years ago, this guy looks like Fester, so we're going to bring them in. You got the guy who plays Tully, who is one of those people that you would never know the name, but no. He has been in so many films that you instantly recognize because he's like one of those actors that never play like a main part or a big name thing, but he's always kind of there.
And you know,
like... he's the dad in Clueless.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember the Casper movie as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's like a character like him in that as well, because there's like the two guys who are trying to like rob the Casper mansion and get rid of the ghosts and stuff. So like, it's very like, it's very tropey, but I think that's why everyone still loves it, because it's like, you know exactly what you're gonna get. You're gonna get like puns and weird stuff. You're gonna get Raul Julia's sword fighting a lot for some reason.
Oh my god, I love the sword fight.
The ball scene was just fabulous. Like, oh, absolutely. Mamushka.
Mamushka.
Mamushka. Mamushka. But hey.
Oh, I love it. What
the
I really
dad,
love is...
mother and father Adams.
Well, yeah, the graveyard with the Adams family actually in it. Somebody took a shot of it. There is some interesting graves in that graveyard were not looked at properly and probably weren't for children.
No. Yeah, there's that line when he's like, we sang the Mamushka for Jack the River. Like,
yes!
Stuff like that.
But
when the Berlin Wall came down and all that weird stuff.
Did yous want to actually play Wake the Dead when you watch this movie? Because I kind of wanted to.
Like, yeah, like
the Adams weird kid, of course I did.
Yeah, like I said, Adams Family... they look like they would be a really fun time to hang around with, because you can just sort of get away with anything, and to them it's like, it's no big deal, we're rich, I can whip golf balls at the like judge. The judge's house and stuff like that, it doesn't matter, like I'll replace his windows easy. I was just gonna say, like, I love how as well there's like a weird thing where you can't really tell what country they're supposed to be from, because like Gomez makes so many different like references and they speak loads of languages.
Yeah, they leave it like up in the air, don't they? Like, and I quite like that. It's quite makes it like ambiguous. Like, oh, I don't know actually where they're from. I've just read something interesting that you mentioned earlier on, that you couldn't believe that this is not a Tim Burton movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was actually asked to do it.
Right.
And he turned it down.
Oh, right.
So did Terry Gilliam.
Oh, Terry Gilliam would have been too weird.
It would have,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. This we wouldn't be talking about this movie in this way anyway.
That scares me. Sorry. I like Terry Gilliam, but no, not for the Addams Family.
And also, there was something I've just remembered about the casting of Angelica Houston, because I think Angelica Houston was a big. They really wanted her.
Yeah.
But they also wanted another actress. Well, actress slash singer, who, if you look at her back in her heyday,
Cher.
She is Morticia Adams, Cher. So Cher says no.
Yeah.
When Angelica Houston gets the role, she says, why didn't you ask Cher?
Didn't Cher, around this time, win an Oscar, though?
she a fucking Oscar winner.
yeah. I think she might. I think she might have won an Oscar round of this time, or not long after, long before this. So yeah, this I know it sounds bad, but this was probably Cher was probably a bit
Simpsons. Yeah, definitely.
Because I think Cher was a bit big for the movie. I think I'll be honest.
Yeah, but Cher and Sonny and with the Sonny and Cher era, she is Morticia Adams. That long black hair.
Yeah,
she would have been absolutely stunning.
No, I don't think, because Cher doesn't do subtle. Morticia Adams is subtle.
She would have had to be quiet a lot, and I don't know if she had the capability to do that.
Yeah, because like Morticia gets some of the best lines that are just like sneaky throwaway ones.
Yeah.
Like when she's like helping like Festa unpack and stuff, and he thinks he's gonna get caught out. He's like pulling the crow out, and he's like, like in the background, and like the cyanide, like as if we'd run out. She just walks off.
There's a calmness to Angelica Houston's performance, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not many people would have done that in that performance. I know we've had Wednesday recently with Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia Adams. Looks fantastic, but still doesn't have the same vibe. If that makes sense.
I didn't like any of the casting for like the family like in that one. Like, and I know what they were going for and stuff, but I just thought it was weird. They should have probably
I love the dad. The dad, Gomez in the Wednesday looked exactly like Charles Adams is drawn. Yeah. Like it was very accurate. I think Catherine Zeta-Jones did a brilliant job, but she had some very big shoes to fill, and she just wasn't going to match up to Angelica Houston in any way. She could have put the performance of a lifetime on, and we still would have been going, we love Angelica Houston more.
Isn't Angelica Houston going to be in the season two, though?
Oh my God, I'd never heard that. Is she really?
I've heard rumors. I don't know. Again, I might be just making shit up.
That's screams a bit now. Is she going to be Granny?
That would be cool. I would take that.
Well, she probably wouldn't want to get into the dress again, because the poor woman had to wear a metal corset to get into that dress. Yeah. Ow. That's all I can say is ow.
But I think, as Jake said, the physical comedy and like the hilarity is what made this work so much as well. And it didn't go half-assed with the jokes as well. Like all the like things that they did, like when they did the mamuska and the sword fighting, I was like, oh, what they're going to do there? They made Festus swallow the sword as well. It was just like absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
That's like when he's like, so I guess it's like his memories, like his muscle memory kicking in, because up to before he starts that dance, we're not really sure if he knows what to do, but he keeps up with it.
Yeah, he stands and picks it up towards the end. Yeah. One thing I do want to say, and again, I'm going to try and word this right, because again, I don't want to offend anyone or anything like that, because the movie does showcase a lot of different, like say, different, if you were watching like an episode of Monsters a while ago when you did an episode of Freaks, that there was a lot of like showcased in that, but they never poked fun at them. That was the thing. It was very respectful, and everything was quite done in quite a loving way. Like Siamese twins, like Fauna and Flora, was like the love triangle between Festa and Gomez, which was like absolutely brilliantly done. I thought that was so well done by this movie. That could have went a different way. It could have went, look at all these interesting characters we've got, let's laugh at them, let's see them in stupid positions. Like,
they could have used the word freak in a derogatory way as opposed to a loving way.
The only people they insult is Gomez, technically. Like, you know, everyone just calls him an idiot, which he kind of is, but he's our
he's a lovable idiot.
Yeah,
he's a romantic caramia.
Oh my God, the romanticism between them two is just like
You put that clip on the socials, Paul, where he's just like, I would die for her. I would kill for her. Either way, it's bliss.
Well, it's like all the like, comments is like the wrongest comments in the world. It's like hot pokers, the wheel of torture, and he's get later, Gomez.
Yeah. Like in the middle of like the action scene as they're trying to fight their way out.
Which is, there was a scene, I don't know if it's the first or second one, where she's like, you were an animal, you were deranged, you were unhinged. I can't do it again.
Yeah, that was this movie, yeah. Yeah. A lot of couples try and live up to that, but you know, nobody holds a candle to these two freaks.
But everyone wants that Morticia and Gomez relationship.
You can't though, because they actually enjoy being depressed. <It's> like, they just don't make sense when you try and like explain it. In like the thing, like where he's like, oh, you know, he's a slob, a layabout and stuff. And she's like, not anymore. they want each other to be at their worst, and they just like enjoy it apparently.
But I think that's like a good message for relationships as well. I know a lot of people go, what? But
it needs to be perfect.
It doesn't have to be a perfect relationship. You just got to be very happy and very comfortable with yourself and the person who you're with as well. And they are very, like, say, accepting and knowing what they are.
Gomez is so accepting that he manages to, like, suspect Festa and then turn it around to being his fault again, like, within like one scene. When he's just like, yes, displacement, that's it. Like, that makes total sense. It's my fault. Even though he's, like, living with a con artist at that point. But I like that it is dead cute, though, how, like, I mean, yeah, we're talking about Uncle Festa and Gomez Adams, and yet we're saying, like, the relationship is really sweet and cute. Like, the way they sort of, like, like, his memories slowly come back and stuff, and like, you know, they go to like the vault together and like have that weird, like, you know, you've got to like pull the right lever and then like they have the gondola rides like together.
It was a very Goonies moment. Sorry to get the reference like everything seems to be like a One Eye Willy trap. It's like, oh, we'll get through the bookshelf, go down the slide, pull the right lever.
And they go there to watch like family movies together, like, you know, from like the old times in like, you know, the generic old country that they never really explain, like, where they live with like, they live like Draculas, I guess, and like there's villagers that chase Festa apparently.
When they were kids and had the shark fins and they were going to go into the water, I was like, yes, that's
the old, like 1950s, like
swimming captains. Like, just, I know we've talked about like the look of this film, but like the set pieces as well, like the actual things that they put in, like at the start, that clock, the moving elements and everything, that is so well done, like all the pieces. And then you get like some of the weirdest shit you'll ever see. Like, I think it was Tully walking through the room. He not only just gets attacked by the gate is called Gate, it's got its own life and personality. Then the polar bear rug attacks him.
I was scared of those rugs as a kid. I don't know where I saw one, but I did once, and I was like,
oh, it's gonna get.
I always wanted one until my mom had to remind us where they came from, and I was like, no, you're okay. I'm fine.
And then there's the foliage. Like I say, if you get too close to the gardens and the bushes, they'll eat you as well. So
it goes
literally
evil dead on you. Yeah.
it's such an
experience. Everything's alive.
Yeah. But then you get, like, as well, like, if you look at the house, they've got escape pods, and they've got the names on as well. So Wednesday and Pudsey's got their own, like, little escape pods and how they,
like,
get out of the house.
Safe room stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, it's like, if we're to take everything they say seriously about the family, like, they've been, like, witch hunted, like, multiple times and all that stuff.
Yeah. Another little thing that's just come to my head, even though I've closed my laptop down and I've just remembered it, Wednesday has a middle name. This is how far Christina Ricci went in creating this character. No, you're close.
Thursday.
No.
Monday?
Nope.
Saturday? Friday?
No. Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. Yeah, Wednesday, Friday, Adams.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is how far she went. She like created a whole thing.
Okay.
I did like how she had the doll with like the missing head, but she also keeps the head around. I feel like not enough goth girls did that in real life. That was a mistake.
No, there was a time, and it was more around the corn era, you know, the corn doll, and
corn dolls.
Isn't Glory? Oh, what's her name? She's in Buffy. I remember her from Buffy.
Oh yes,
Harmony.
Harmony, that's it.
She's in this, isn't she?
She's in the sequel.
Stealth drop for characters in the sequel. Like she just does the Girl Scout thing, but she's the girl at camp.
Is it made of real lemons? I can only have real lemons. My body can only take it.
Organic, yeah.
Oh, how annoying. And then
it took us so many years to catch up on the American Valley Girl culture.
Mm-hmm. And then the turn around, is your Girl Scout cookies made of real Girl Scouts?
I'm telling you now, though, they missed a trick there, because by all accounts, Girl Scout cookies are delicious, and they should have done that trade for the lemonade.
Did you see what happened to poor Lurch after he had a glass? He burned the very Native American statue
that American directors love to put in the movies for some reason, like the wooden Native American statue. Lurch doesn't get much to do in this one, but he is just kind of the butler driver sort of classical.
I think it was just there for the look, really, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just there for the effect.
Oh, he plays the organ very nicely as well.
But definitely. So I know we were meant to do the sequel as well, but like with us all having a busy week, it was a thing, because it's weird, because I love the first movie. I know, like, just to go into the thing, but I do think Addams Family Values is a better movie.
I do.
Yeah,
too.
I think there's more to talk about there as well. Like, there's more like plot to dive into.
That's fine. It just gives us a chance to dive back into it at a later date.
That's true.
Well.
That is true.
But yeah. But no, it's weird, because this film, when I watched it last night, it doesn't feel like a movie that came out in 1991. Aww. So it's scary to think that's like, how old is this movie now?
I can't do the math on it, Paul.
Yeah,
it's too depressing.
You're right, though. It doesn't feel 80s. And I guess if what you're saying is right about it being sort of like one of the bigger blockbusters, it probably led the charge on like what movies would look like for the next decade or so. Now that I'm thinking about it, is this to blame for us getting friggin' like Dennis the Menace movies? Like,
yeah,
any other,
100%.
Any Richie Rich, any other stupid comic series that could ring out?
I need a thing from the kids era or anything that the studios could get their hands on. The thought make money, like. And they weren't wrong. Like, the Dennis movie made money. I still think it's a decent movie. It's not the Dennis the Menace that we got. It was the American Dennis with another Christopher Lloyd vehicle as well as the hobo. that Dennis fought. But again, totally unrecognizable in that role. But then we got Richie Rich, which is a terrible movie, but it did well. It did well when you watched.
I've told
back.
You guys I had to see that at the pictures because they wouldn't let me in Street Fighter, right?
Yeah,
it was either Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, and I had to go see Richie Rich, and it was bad.
But I think the big thing what this movie did as well, as Sammy said, with Barry Sonnenfeld, like the career he got after this, he did, as I said, Addams Family Values, he'd done Men in Black, Get Shorty, Wild Wild West.
Actually, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure he uses the same font on the opening credits for Men in Black. You know, that long
white writing. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. He seemed like a really, like, when he was talking about it, and obviously this is years later down the line, he talks about this movie in high regard, but he does want to stress that this was his first ever movie, and he was very scared of the whole process.
Yeah.
He thought to himself, it's either people are going to really, really love it, or they're going to really, really hate it, and then they're going to hate me because I've made them hate the Addams Family.
So, yeah.
He come from a good background as well. Did you see what movies he worked on before this movie? So Big. Yep.
Is he a cinematographer? Cinematographer.
Yep. Yep. When Harry Met Sally.
I was going to say the portrait of Festa does look a bit like Zoltar or whatever. Zoltar.
One for Sammy for a later date. Misery.
Oh.
Yeah. So he did. He has got a good.
Films look beautiful.
He has got a good background, and if you look at the Addams Family, like the palette and everything as well,
it's beautiful.
Everything is just stunning. Everything is on point.
The aesthetic is absolutely perfect.
There's so much black in like the color palette, but you can see everything. Like it's lit super well, which must be quite hard when every character is wearing black and white with way more black.
But they're not actually. They're not. The black and white doesn't come in until it's actually brown.
I suppose
it's like a brown and white. But the costume that I was talking about, Caroline Jones's costume, and how, you know, similar it is to the morticians like Angelica Houston's. Sean Astin's daddy, what's he called?
I don't know
his dad.
Daddy Astin.
He plays Gomez Adams in the original.
Oh, right, yeah, I can't remember his name, but I know what he means.
What's
yeah,
his name? Like
back, well, to be fair, back in the day when they did the Addams Family, it was one of the most colourful shows that was going, because nothing would show as black and white, so all the sets were like pink and stuff. It was weird.
And greens, yeah,
be way too trippy if you'd like walked onto the set.
Everything was painted like bright pink and stuff.
Look at the monsters. Yeah. It's like luminescent green in like real life. But Gomez in the TV show, to Gomez here, Raul Julius slimlined everything to have that suit like as sleek as her dress, whereas in the TV show it's boxy, which actually goes against the fashion grain of the 60s, because at the time men were wearing, like, Dick Van Dyke Show was incredibly huge at the same time, and their outfits were sleek and skinny, and he went with a boxy kind of suit to go against.
But I think that was just his build, because he was quite a short bloke in the original.
No, this is what I was saying in this video, that he was literally going against everything of fashion at the time, and making everything more exaggerated, but kind of sticking with the pinstripe suit. I think it's John Astin. I think that's what his daddy's name's called.
Possibly, I didn't look. one thing, when you're watching back, and I know there's a lot of beautiful shots, but the one shot that I kind of didn't realize, and it's like a comedy shot, but it looks like every element to it is Tim Burton, and you can see it's screaming Tim Burton, is when Gomez is walking down that staircase and goes down to the other one to go back up, and like it's like the front door and the two staircases up, and it's just so elongated, and it just looks beautiful, like, and as you said, with being the cinematography and stuff like that, like the photography in this movie, they got everything spot on and right, from the clothing and everything in the dancing, the ball scene. And I know we talked about it earlier, like how ridiculous Cousin It could have looked like, but he looked amazing. And just hearing it was R2-D2 all over again.
Yeah, but like all the characters talk to it so convincingly that you don't even sort of
guess
how silly it is.
Yeah,
like you don't really need to know, because like the way like the characters like actually talk to it as if they can understand, like it's just it just blends into the scene.
It's Groot.
Yeah, true.
I love that he ends up with his wife, though.
Yeah.
I can't think of the actress's name, but she's another actress who is like been in everything. Yeah.
It's because her face is so like distinctive, and her mouth and everything. Like you can just like she's just so expressive with the really wide eyes and everything. It's great. Yeah.
We need to get a finger trap to see if Sammy can get out of it.
No. I probably can't, and I'll probably be sat here for the rest of my life just trying to get out. I do remember in Paris that was one of the tricks that they used to do to try and get money out of you, is try and grab your hand to like, so can we look at your hand, and then they would put you in a finger trap, and then you would have to pay money to get out of the finger trap.
I'd be like, I'm taking this then. See ya.
Yeah, it's mine. Thanks. Bye.
I'll get out.
Right.
So we're going to try and get Sammy in a finger trap now, so that's fine.
It has to be one of those Chinese dragon ones, though.
If yous can get one, I would more than happy, but yous got to promise that if I start to panic, that yous let me out.
What did you say about Daredevil?
I said I'd rewatch it.
I'm only winding you up now. So if you were rating this movie out of 5, like take the nostalgia factor out.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Because I think we should start doing that, because like the ratings are very hard, high based on nostalgia.
No, you're right.
So what, Jake, what are you rating this out of 5?
I think I would have to go for a 4. Because it's like a really amazing like first shot out the park sort of thing, where it's like this is like an untested like cast, crew, like you said, the director was really nervous, it was the first time they were let loose, but they like put this on the map, and I don't think they would have got a sequel if it was like, you know, another 90s weird kids bomb movie. Like there was many, but I like the sequel better. I think there's like more like meat on the bone to like to talk about on the sequel. So I think I would probably, you know, spoilers, give that 5 stars instead. But yeah, 4.
Cool. What about you, Sammy?
I'm gonna say 4.
Cool.
Because I will take the nostalgia factor out. But you know, it's the aesthetic, the like you said earlier, the palette, the story, the characters, Morticia. You know, I've lived a goth life for a long time. And she I'm not saying she is the starting point, because she isn't. My starting point will always be Elvira. But if you don't have Elvira, if you don't have Morticia Adams. Yes. So, but yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. Cool. I think it's a brilliant film, but if we are taking nostalgia out of it, then I need to take a point off.
Cool. I'm going to be a little harsher, so I'm going to say a 3. Not because I didn't love this movie, but as I said, if I'm going to take the rose-tinted glasses of like saying, oh, I watched this and I loved it and I love it now. The story is a bit too complicated for what it needed to be at times. The ending did feel rushed. Like, it kind of like got to like the slow burner, and then it kind of rushed everything to the point.
I forgot to say, but doesn't like, you know, like they're having that whole like tussle in the library or whatever, like the drawing room. Like it kind of just ends like with them running away, and nothing really happens to the bad guys, does it? Unless I like blinked and missed it.
They get zapped by the hurricane book, and it's just like, oh, so you don't know if they're dead or they don't know if they die or anything. So yeah, it's kind of like everything just kind of rushed to the point. And as you said, with the bit saying, oh yeah, I am Uncle Fester, and it's like, oh yeah, it rounds everything up nicely, but it doesn't quite like tick every box or finalize everything. Kind of explains like all the different stuff that's happened before or anything, like just by going amnesia, it's like, oh fuck, it's another lost.
this is the 80s and 90s, the mysterious, what do you call it, program. Everyone had fucking amnesia. The 80s and 90s, it was rife with it.
So I'm surprised they didn't bring in some quicksand as well, just to like get some
to top it all off.
But yeah, like if I'm gonna be like ultra harsh, that would be probably my rating. Okay. As I said, with values it would be higher, because you get Debbie, and Debbie is a fucking force to be reckoned with.
And like the mystery angle's a lot better in that one, because there's like the mystery of what's wrong with the kid, and like the mystery of who Debbie is and what she's up to and everything.
I'm kind of glad in a way that we did take the second one out, because I feel like if we were doing two together, we would be rushing to get
to the values.
Exactly. So I like the idea that we can give it its own space and its own time, because it really deserves it to be just on its own as its own singular movie.
Yes, and we'll try and get Lee on that one as well, because Lee will dress up as Gomez, no doubt.
I thought you were going to say he's going to dress Fester up as a turkey. Eat me.
You're making us want to watch like the next one.
So no, it's been like, it's one of those things. It's a nostalgia fest for everything that came out, and it's set a precedent for what it came after, and it gave us so much. So again, it's a trendsetter, and again, I know it sounds weird saying this, but it changed where a lot of movies came out and were made at the time. So again, we'll always be thankful and always be quite excited to promote the Addams Family. I don't think it kind of gets the love that a lot of 90s movies does get. It's kind of like a forgotten child.
It's one of those ones where it does get forgotten, but then you mention it and everyone goes, oh yeah, I love that one.
And Wednesday is almost like a different thing completely, really. Like it's related, but it's like totally different, and has like, obviously there's nothing to do. Like all of the Addams Families have kind of nothing to do with each other. It's a very,
I like that though.
Yeah, I do. I don't like Wednesday that much, but like I say, it's so different. It doesn't take anything away from this. I'm not thinking like, oh, well, then they're going to send out a magic teen school.
Magic teen school.
Like, is that every premise that
they just go to the wicked school. Let's face it.
Everyone's off to shiz.
Oh, she's got a friend who's really colourful, and she's the evil one. Got it.
Defying gravity.
It's
Sorry.
Damn you, Jake, you've just ruined Wednesday for us.
We'll never be popular. To be fair, Lady Gaga's in it, so that's going to be interesting to see how that one goes.
I'm watching
so.
It then. Sold.
Yes. But yeah, so what is happening tomorrow, Sammy?
Tomorrow?
What day is this?
Great, it's Scott. Sunday, people. Today is Sunday, so tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I forgot
Monday.
To send a live. Chris, you're a dick. Thanks for watching, Beth.
yeah, thanks for the chat. We appreciate you all. Sorry, we haven't interacted with you tonight. We do apologise.
Yeah, we're too engrossed in the Addams Family.
Absolutely. but yeah, tomorrow, Monster Monday, we're doing a new series of cursed movies, and we're starting with Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. All right, So it's not. I thought you were doing a whole host of cursed movies. So it's just Poltergeist tomorrow.
Just Poltergeist.
Right. So that's fine.
Sorry if the misunderstanding. No, it's just Poltergeist.
I'll sort that out tonight tomorrow. As well.
I'm sorry.
I've been waiting for a list of cursed movies that you're going to send over.
Oh my gosh! No, it was just the one. It was Poltergeist.
That's fine. Don't worry.
What do you mean you'll sort it out tomorrow? This is Sunday.
I'm always sorting everything out. You'll have always watched the new Anime Club. You'll have watched Countdown to Doomsday, which is a great
episode. Galaxy. See, it was a beautiful episode.
You find out who won out the dance off. Was it not Chris?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
we Chris did. I think we actually mentioned it.
The finger gun.
Finger gun ready.
Dance off, bro. Dance off, hey. Right.
The Chris dance.
I'm so glad you've used that again. I feel it needs to be on every episode now.
Oh, we can do our own do the Mario rap. Like it does look like that actually.
Yeah.
Finger guns, man. It's just the best.
Oh, he'd be getting the day he sent us that, bless him. But yes, and so that's out. If you haven't watched it already, watch the last episode of whatever else we've done. Top Grumps has come out last this week. Rumblecast was the week before, where it was WCW Halloween Havoc,
which is very, very much like the Addams Family, the intro.
So next week on the Nerdy Up North podcast, it's going to get dark. It's going to get sad. It's going to be interesting because we're doing Stephen King's It. So Georgie's going to lose his arm all over again. Yeah.
Can have it back the way that I feel about this book right now.
You're doing It the Clown. Called It.
Yes. We've got the lovely lovely Kelly and Sonia joining us.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yes.
They're going to talk a lot at you about psychology, so I hope you guys are getting ready for that.
I'm just going, it's a fucking clown. He eats people.
Oh my God, Paul, can you, whenever they're trying to have a serious conversation, can you get one of those clackers and be like,
beep, beep, Richie.
Wow. Yes, it's all mature around us.
Tim Curry was a treasure.
Absolutely. If you are watching us on YouTube, please remember to like, share, subscribe to the YouTube channel and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode.
Yes, because we've got quite a few of them.
Yeah, and
they're never stopping.
They're never stopping and they're never stopping coming out. But also, if you are listening to us on podcasts, audio, wherever you get your podcast from, give us a like, give us a share, give us a whatever it is that you can do to kind of help the algorithm to pick the picked up and for other people to find us.
If you tell two friends, then they tell two friends.
I've heard your dogs like listening to Nerdy Up North podcast. That's what Chris tells us. So if play us on Spotify and get your animals to listen, get them all nerdy and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. But when you are looking for your favorite podcast from the Nerdy Up North team, you need to be searching for their individual podcast name. So for example, if you want monsters, it's Monsters Up North.
Oh, funny enough, they went for that one first.
Because I am part of that one, and then I did say Nerdy Up North afterwards.
That's fine.
Yeah, and technically they're already listening to this, so we don't need to tell them to.
But yeah. But to be fair,
find a better way to say that.
But on the socials, each person is now going to be individually responsible for their own audio podcasts, so you have to find them. They'll share it. They'll tell you about it, and we'll put the links in every motherfucking place that we can.
Absolutely. But the Nerdy Up North and the Monsters Up North audio will be available for your listening pleasure on Monday.
I'll just be a creep and join the Discord. It's like,
why not?
And then you'll get to directly talk to us. But to join the Discord, you have to join the Facebook group and then ask somebody for a Discord invite, because that invite link does change every 7 days, so you can't leave it anywhere.
Did not know that. See, tonight's episode has been The More You Know with Nerdy Up North.
Yes, it's educational with the Nerdy family.
Jake.
But yes. So yeah, thank you everyone. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Sammy. I don't know, I've given you shit, but you deserve it. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.